We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Years. I am currently recording this with smoke signals.
I do not have Wi-Fi. Andy, what's up, bro?
First game back from the All-Star break. It looks like the Warriors just came back from Hawaii. That's what it looked like tonight. Well rested, ready to rock. Sam, ready for the stretch run. This was the perfect first game that they could have played.
I think so. I might have fell asleep in the middle of the second quarter of it.
It's a good thing, though.
I'll give you this. It was a good warm yourself up back into the right thing, but this was a snooze fest beyond the fact that Steph Curry was. I felt like it was Steph playing pickup ball with a bunch of amateurs when he played in the game in general. I don't really know where else to go with that.
Here's the thing. I mean, there's not games like these, you know, midway through the second, I kind of thought, oh, maybe this will be a close game by the fourth quarter. Like, you watch the Warriors the last 2 weeks. It's a lot of playing very poorly against bad teams, like the Knicks, and somehow losing
that's
at home,
true. That's
right?
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
You know, this type of game, obviously, you know, you got guys that, you know, Wiggins didn't make a shot tonight. Jordan Poole couldn't make it for the first half, right? So you had guys struggling tonight. But I think overall, this was the type of effort. Steph and Klay looked phenomenal, right? Klay looked like he was – right before the All-Star break, he missed a bunch of shots, but not tonight. He looked like classic Klay against the Blazers. So I think, like you said, though, kind of warm your heart. I mean, this doesn't prove that they're a championship team, but this just, you know, they needed to play this type of game and not win by 10 points tonight. I think winning by 10 points tonight would have been very annoying.
Two things we've talked about. Let's start on the first one, which is this team was limping into the All-Star break. Like the last 2 weeks before the All-Star break were, I didn't want to watch any of those games. The last week I was like, oh, the Warriors play tonight. This is going to be gross. You know, like, I don't want to see it. So it was good to see them come back with extra energy. And what I'm particularly talking about is like Looney, kind of some of the bigger guy.
Yeah,
it sucks to be that undermanned up front. And like, they're still undermanned. Wiseman, what, 5-on-5s right now? Draymond farther back, but they're not playing probably this week. But in general, you know, like Portland, not a big team, and guys like Looney and Bielitsa had a little time off. The Warriors didn't feel so undersized up front.
Yeah, I mean it's a good matchup, right? Nurkic isn't playing tonight. He probably would have went for, you know, 18 and 15 or something if he was. And the Blazers were somehow actually probably smaller than the Warriors, and they wanted to play fast. So it was like perfect. It was just a perfect matchup for the Warriors. The Warriors played Dallas on Sunday, another great matchup where the Mavs just have no big men, and they'll try to run it as they'll try to go guard to guard with the Warriors, which is perfect, right?
Yeah. So a little better team though.
They got one guy that's pretty good. It's a good matchup overall. Like you said, one adjustment I thought was interesting. Bielitsa is not playing, right? Bielitsa didn't play tonight until garbage time. So I thought that was interesting where Wiseman's going to be back. you know, Fitz keeps saying it in the next couple of weeks. So I think the minutes that we've seen Bielitsa play, I think Wiseman are going to get him. So you talk about like the size, right? I think they're probably going to throw that out there. I think they're prepping for that. And I think Bielitsa is probably out of the rotation until Steve puts him in the second round, the playoffs for no reason. he's probably not playing for a while.
Yeah. I mean, Looney didn't play too much tonight. It wasn't really a big man game, but in general, they went that route. I thought Otto Porter played a phenomenal game. We're kind of burying the lead with Steph Curry, but like we're on this big man front right now, so we might as well run with it. I thought this was the best game Otto Porter played in a few weeks. Yeah. We keep talking about Looney being worn down, but like,
yeah,
Otto's kind of been a de facto big man for them, and he's looked tired the last couple of weeks, and tonight he looked like the player he looked like in the early part of the season.
Oh man, I forgot about that. So true. Like, we got used to talking about how good Otto was, and he always seems to make the right play, but he did vanish the last couple of weeks, right? And they rest him too. It's not like he plays back to backs. It's not like he might have had nagging injuries, but he didn't have a sprain that took him out for five games. Like, they're doing their best to load manage Otto Porter, and he's still wore down, right? It's just, I think someone like him, it's just tough. Like, he's just not going to be able to play that amount of games. So maybe they should put him on the Iguodala plan if Otto's going to be back next year. But again, for the purpose of this year, it's perfect, right? Because they only got 20 games left.
You can't have everyone on the Iguodala plan at the same time. Well, like, yeah, but like, your point's right. Like, if you thought he could be like a 35 minute per game, 80 game right. player, you're probably not getting him for a vet minimum. So
he might be even like less healthy than we thought though. Like, he's good when he's healthy, but he might not even be a 70, 65. He might be like a 58 game player. You know what I mean? Which is fine because like tonight and the beginning of the season, when he's out there and he's healthy, he's good. Like, he's really good.
We are going to discuss the main story of the game tonight. Mm. If you can hear me, Andy.
Yes.
One, Stephen Curry. It's been, off of kind of the star of All-Star weekend, up showing LeBron James in the Cleveland All-Star game. I think you were a little curious how Steph would look in the first game back from All-Star. My man threw up 18 and 14 in 2.5 quarters. Like, what are you going to do with that? Tell me what you thought of Steph's performance tonight.
Well, hey, Steph shot 2 for 7 from three. So I don't know. He did his, you brought up a few weeks ago, Steph having to become the primary ball handler and really the primary passer on this team, with Draymond out. And tonight was that, he looked like, I made a joke in the beginning of the game that he looked like Chris Paul. He had 10 assists well before halftime, and he even had a play where he dribbled in front of a big guy in transition, then purposely slowed down, flopped, and drew the foul. Pretty disgusting, Sam, but classic point guard behavior. So, as much as we like to make fun of Chris Paul, he is one of the best guys that can run an offense, right, in the history of the NBA. So right now you're seeing, I think, the versatility of Steph, where, look, man, tonight if he wanted to score 30, he would have just chucked up 15 more shots and scored 30. It's not a big deal. But I think he understands that you got guys that need to get in rhythm, and he's trying to get Clay in rhythm. Clay got in rhythm. He got Wiggins 10 open threes, right? So hopefully Wiggins can hit him next game.
Made one of them, baby.
Kevon Looney had a bunch of open dunks on layups, right? So I think, like, you can see that the guy can just do everything on offense. Nothing he can.
I think he looks very locked in. It's funny because all anyone wants to focus on with Steph is the 3-point shooting numbers. And I get it. Like, that is the foundation of his game, and there's just no way around it. Like, it's weird when Steph isn't just raining threes on you, but like, just the ability to control a game and beat you in so many different ways gets overlooked with Steph. And tonight, you know, like, Portland's not a good team, but like, 10 assists in the first 12 minutes he played, just complete control. He looks like a player who is very much in control of his total game. And, you know, end of the day, we care about this Warriors team making a playoff run, right? Like, we want them to win a title. Like, I don't really care Phoenix won tonight. I don't, right? And to win a title, you need Steph, Clay, and Draymond peaking at the same time. And as far as I'm concerned, Clay keeps playing better.
Right.
Steph is peaking. Steph is playing. I think he's playing phenomenal basketball.
He's playing at a high, very high level. Yeah. Just because he's not shooting 43% from three doesn't mean he's not playing at a high level.
So it's just about getting Draymond back healthy and like just checking all those boxes. Anyway, should we open this to some questions, Andy?
Let's get it to the goons.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Ryan, what's up, bro?
Nothing much. I almost fell asleep halfway through the fourth quarter. It definitely had the vibes of a college game, especially with all the half-court trap shit that they were doing and the random players and Brian Anderson on the call. It felt like completely March Madness game, which got me in the mood for March Madness, and I'm excited that's coming up. So let's talk about Kuminga a little bit. Like, it just seems like since the beginning of the season, he went from his first instinct being to face up and go at people to, I'm going to pull this out. I'm going to go into a dribble handoff and I'll get an easier dunk. The growth of this guy has been fantastic. I guess that's leading to my question is, what do you guys think the limit is for Kuminga in the playoffs this season? Do you think he could be a reliable playoff weapon, especially with his free throw rate and his rim pressure?
Ooh, I love that question, Ryan. Andy, you want to go first?
By the way, I was thinking about this. Yesterday I was on 95.7, and they always ask me about coming up. But you are always on KNBR, and I'm on 95.7. Is that like a – do they come into agreement with those two stations where only one can do one and can't do the other? I always find that funny.
If, you know, I've kind of wondered about that. I don't know where we're going with that, you know?
It's like they get the rights to one. Well, I was saying, because they keep asking me, I want to say that I don't know if he's even going to play in the postseason because we've seen Steve yank him in and out of the lineup kind of for reasons unknown. We just generally don't know outside of like maybe he's not playing hard enough or something like that. But at this point, doesn't it feel like the last two weeks that he's a stable guy in the rotation now? They're not kicking him out. They're going to kick JTA out. Lee just got booted out of the rotation right before the All-Star break. Bielitsa is now out of the rotation. But the one guy that's still there and that's playing consistent minutes is Kuminga, right? It feels like he's going to get those minutes regardless, whether it be the regular season or the postseason.
Yeah, and I want to throw this into the mix, which is I think it's easier to mix Kuminga into the lineup because his role is a pure energy role right now. Like his role is come in, play defense, crash the glass, and use your athleticism. So some games, like against Portland, who's, you know, kind of in a rebuild, That might be 30 minutes. Other teams, maybe it's 8 to 10 minutes, right? Like, I could see Steve throwing him into a playoff game, thinking his energy level will change a game. And it's just a cleaner way to develop him. Like, they're not asking him to do too much, and they can just ride with what he is doing in terms of providing energy and athleticism.
The other thing is he also shot 12 free throws tonight, made 10 of them. It reminds me of I keep going back to Giannis. There's some Kawhi. I know you like the Jimmy Butler one because those guys are like MVP type players, but the guy just gets fouled existing. It's he goes to the hole, gets fouled. He shoots a shot, he gets fouled. Like, he is addicted to, like, let's take Andrew Wiggins, for example, having a special season, is an all-star. But how often do we see him take it to the rack and just not care? It's not like Kuminga's an 85% free throw shooter. Those two guys shoot free throws at about the same rate.
Kuminga likes contact.
He's not scared.
There's no way around that. Yeah, no. If anything, it's like, you know, the next stage of his development is figuring out how to leverage that into getting other guys' shots. But, like, for right now, he likes contact.
Yeah, he's a play finisher right now, which he should be, right? We don't want him to – they don't want him to play create because the Warriors have two of those guys, three of those guys if Draymond's back. So
keep it moving.
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
All right.
Good. What's up, Nathaniel?
I'm good, good. Good team win, first of all. But I had a question regarding Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like during the playoffs, you know, he had a very quiet first half. And he has these times during games where he could just, like, look disinterested, I'd say. But, you know, a good coach like Ty Lue, I feel like, could easily scheme against the Warriors. And I just want to know how you guys feel about Wiggins during times like those where Steph's getting blitzed off double teams and he's missing those 4 to 5 wide-open threes. You know what I mean? How do you guys see the Warriors, like, attacking that issue in the playoffs?
Ooh.
Daniel, that's a great question. First off, I want to call it. That's a great question, but go for it, Andy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not concerning right now because I think the Warriors, it's been a while since they've played a huge game. And, right. And Andrew Wiggins, let's talk about last season in the two playing games, which were essentially playoff games. He was great against the Lakers, but bad against Memphis down the stretch. Right. And by bad, I mean, like, he missed the shots that were open down the stretch. So I think that's what you expect from him, though. Like, he's Harrison Barnes in that he stands in the corner, he takes a shot. You aren't looking for him to get to the rack, to dribble, 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 draw contact, get two shots, go to the free throw line, right? Like, that's not – if that's your expectation of him, you're going to get your heart broken. So I think if that's the case, I tend to look for guys like Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson to get those shots instead in crunch time. So I'm like, those are the guys where I'm saying, yeah, go get me a shot, right? Instead of saying, Andrew Wiggins, go settle into an 18-foot fadeaway. That's not what I'm looking for from.
Yeah, I'm with you there. He's been a phenomenal 3-and-D player for this team, and that's who he is. He's a 3-and-D guy. He guards one of your best perimeter players on the other team, and he is a damn good spot-up shooter. Like, regardless of tonight or any other night, like, it's hard to find a better 3-and-D guy than Wiggins. If you're looking for someone to break the game open, probably not going to be Andrew Wiggins. Like, that's going to have to be Steph Curry. That's going to have to be Klay Thompson. Draymond, when he comes back, using his ability to push ball in transition. And as you mentioned, Jordan Poole is going to have to be that six-man guy who, when games are not working the way you want, where you're like, someone to throw it in there to do a different thing. I don't think that's going to be Andrew Wiggins' role on this team, no matter how much you want it to be. I just don't think it's going to be that.
They don't want it to be. You know what I mean? Like, part of what you've seen with Steve Kerr and the coaching staff is they've essentially erased the dribble, 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 pull up mid-range shot. It's not even part of the game. They get him the post game.
For the better.
Half hook,
for the better.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for the like they get him the post on a small guy. He turns around. That thing's a bucket. It's automatic. But outside of that, they're not asking him to do all of that. And I think he's okay with it. They're okay with it. He's shooting 40%+ from three. If you want someone else to make and take
all-star
a shot at
the starter. Game,
yeah, 10 points. It's going to be Steph Claypool. Pool's that X factor is really what it is.
I love the 10-point call out. Like, just fits perfectly. 10 points in all-star game. All right, let's get Greg back up here. I think Greg's got his connection. I think he's back. Greg, turn yourself off mute.
Oh, there it is.
There you go.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you. What's up, Greg?
Hey, well, first off, first time, as you can probably tell, first time caller, love the fucking podcast. Great podcast. Oh, yeah. So thanks for providing all of that. And my first observation, I guess, and sort of question is, you know, there's these three big problems with the Warriors. Draymond lists defense, which I can understand, makes sense. The crazy errant throws and all of the turnovers. Again, I can make sense in a way with the way that it all works. But the third one that I can't really comprehend is the fouling. And in the first quarter, the very first quarter, I was like, dude, are we going to do this right now? Are we going to have this other game where it's like they have, you know, 50 free throws and we have 10, 12? Obviously, it didn't end up that way, so I'm grateful for that. Thank you, Kuminga. Amazing free throw performance. But what do you think is it that causes us to, or specifically the Warriors, to make those, I guess, mistakes or errors that's leading to these free throws?
Greg. Appreciate you. I appreciate every first-time caller. I'll go first on this one.
Man, I have a thought too.
I think they just came out flat. Like they have they love to play down to their competition sometimes.
You think? Okay, I have a theory. I think they're one of the few teams in the NBA that actually play hard on defense. From mm-hmm. Steph, GP2, Clay. I mean, Damian Lee, who I love to shit on, but he plays very hard. JTA plays very hard. Looney plays. I think with that, sometimes you just come out and you're fouling guys because you're trying to play so hard on defense. Like, you're trying to set the tone, and sometimes they just end up fouling guys, especially Steph. These guys are so addicted to, like, taking pride in keeping the guy in front of them that they'll do anything to do that. And dude, it's 2022. Like, you're going to get called for a foul. So, I actually think it's a good thing. I don't think it happens that often, right, Sam? Like, I don't see it happen that often, so it's not really that much of a concern overall.
I do think I agree with you. I think this year it's been way better than, like, last year you get, like, a sigh. I'd be like,
yeah.
Anyway, Kempe is more, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I think. Like, but I think you nailed it. I think you got a bunch of guys who are trying to play defense, and they're going to err on the side of over fouling than not fouling. So
yeah.
I mean, as much as I'd love to have five Andre Iguodalas in their prime, you know, that's not how it works. That's, you know,
the Warriors had that in 2017, 2018.
Five
Iguodalas.
Yeah, you get a little spoiled when you watch that, and then you watch guys who are not as good as that do it, and you're like, all right, you're going to have to deal with some dumb fouls every now and then.
Just thinking about it. Prime Clay, Iggy, Draymond, and KD. God, that's special.
Yes, that was a very, very good team. Let's get to a couple more callers. I'm going to call.
David, what's up, man? David?
Yo, I'm back.
Oh, here we go.
David, appreciate you. What's going on, man?
Yeah, thanks for the second chance. We believe in second chances here. kicked me when I joined. Good to hear you, fellas. All right, I got a couple things on my mind. I'm going to share them. You can comment on whichever one you want. First of all, the guy that talked about Wiggins, I've been thinking this now for a while. His shot, like before the All-Star break, I remember a specific shot he bricked against, like, Memphis or something from the left side, and it looked ugly. And I was like, I've never seen Wiggins brick like that this, you know, like in a minute. And his shot has, I swear, like, it hasn't been good for a while. But I think he'll figure it out. But it's starting to make me, like, a little worried. So I hope that he – I mean, he's got time. But just a thought I had. A fun question I wanted to ask you guys. If Kevon Looney was in a bar and he was talking and you didn't know who it was, you just knew the voice, do you think you would recognize the voice of Kevon Looney in a bar?
Oh, my –
And then wait. I had one other thing. Then Steph Curry is the best combination. If you just rank a basketball player on the ability to dribble, pass, and shoot the basketball, Steph Curry is the best in the history of the NBA at those three things, and there is not an actual even comparison. But I would be curious to hear who else you guys would put as like the best of that. Those three categories. Huh. That's it.
Holy shit.
First off, David, appreciate it. I am floored with the Looney comment. So I'm going to need a minute on that one because he's right. Looney, the voice.
I can't. Dude, I was in the locker room for 5 years and I don't remember him talking. I have to say no. I actually don't know what. Don't know what Looney sounds like, man. No, I know what Damian Lee sounds like. He's done interviews and he's a funny guy when he does interviews. He's always seems happy. Looney, I would know.
I think so, but I don't think I would be able to answer it prior to this year. So this is the year Looney's established his voice to me. to his question, I do think so. Like, in my opinion, Steph is probably the most skilled player of all time, right? Like the combination of shot making, ball, just general skill with the ball in his hand is unmatched. Now, who would you put up there with him? I have a list in my head. I've already computed a list.
Okay.
So you go first.
No, I'm just going to throw names out there because you've got a list. I go Steve Nash. Is he on your list?
I mean, he's on the list, yes.
Oh, okay. I will go Chris Paul. It's all point guards.
I mean, it is fair to say, like, this is a guard list. Like, no one's gonna throw out, you know,
LeBron.
Hakeem or something, you know? Like, Kobe deserves to be on the list. I would throw Kyrie on the list.
As much as
he infuriates me, phenomenal with the ball in his hands. Like, just it, sorry, he is. I'll throw MJ in there. If you're gonna put Kobe, you gotta put MJ. Just combo of handle and shot making ability up there all time.
What does it say about LeBron that he's not on this list, but he's probably the second or third best player in the history of basketball? Like, the guy can't dribble, and he is, and he can shoot kind of, but what does it say that he's that good?
This is for another show. We'll say this for when Nick Wright comes on the show.
I will say one thing, Steph. Like, there are guys that are better passers, but he's a very good passer. There are guys that are better ball handler, but he's right up at the list. There is not a fucking soul in the history of basketball that comes close to shooting. And, like, that's the one where it's – the goal of the hoops is to fucking shoot the ball, man, and make it. He's the best. So he is the most skilled.
And, like, the guys I'm thinking of is, like, can they handle and get a shot off under pressure – in that sort of situation. So
yeah,
I'd throw KD in there.
KD's the best
player I've ever seen who has that skill set over like 6'6". Like, I've never seen someone like that size do that, but I still don't think he's as skilled as, you know, as like Kyrie or someone like that. So
yeah. KD's Kyrie is crazy.
KD can't dribble. Come on, Kyrie.
It's because he's so freaking tall that, yeah. that that it looks weird sometimes, but there is no like you see Giannis dribble. He doesn't have the dribble that KD does. KD can get a shot off from.
No, Giannis is a stiff arm to the rim.
Not like LeBron though.
No, it's a little different. But yeah, let's get Larry up here. We might call it a night because of connection issues.
Well, I think the Warriors have some adjustments still going on. Klay is coming back and he's pretty hot. He's looking pretty good right now. I think Wiggins is suffering from lack of usage. And it's hard to hit those shots if you haven't touched the ball that much. We saw that way back with Harrison Barnes. Okay. Right. Shot Hanley had a 15% usage percent and it suffered. And Wiggins' ball handling in the front court has gone way down since everything's come around. The big concern I have about the Warriors right now is in the playoffs. I think we have more adjustments coming when Wiseman comes back. And I don't know how we're going to figure that out in time. You know, hopefully we've got enough time to get a semblance of a rotation that is a little bit better at being consistent. I mean, tonight they were pretty darn good. But you know what? We have almost everybody had 15 points. That's unrealistic in the playoffs. And I really wish that Steph would, you know, take his own shot a little bit more if he could and maybe have him a little more on the ball. I'm really worried that we're wasting yet another year because I don't see this team without a stronger presence in the middle, you know, and rim protection going all the way.
Yeah. Larry, are you? Let me ask you one question. Are you concerned more about Draymond's return or the integration of James Wiseman, who could, let's say, change the calculus of the team, but like obviously is a large
person? Yeah, I'd say a little bit of both, but I think Draymond's injury is really critical, and the makeup of the roster has made it even more so.
Yeah.
The fact that they've kept, you know, the rookies who, and I love both of them. You know, Moody looks like he's going to be solid. Kuminga, we know what we're seeing, but he also does make some rookie mistakes. You know, he started off the game with a couple of, you know, kind of questionable turnovers, but after that, he was fine. But I just think in the playoffs, that gets a lot harder for the rookies. They probably don't get the calls that the veterans do. And, I just think we've got to do something there, and I really don't know what's going to be available in the buyout market, you know. So again, we have beyond generational talent. We have a multi generational talent, a guy who completely changed the way the game of basketball has to be defended against his team, and I'm just not sure he's got enough around him to get past some of the teams that are going to out-rebound us. What do we have, like a 15-rebound advantage tonight? That's why we won the game.
Yeah. That's a great point, Larry. I appreciate you coming through. And we have a generational talent in the Warriors. Like, do I need to sell you on how important Steph Curry is, how generational Steph is, you know? It is fair to wonder if they've done everything they can in their powers to put a title team around Steph while he's still in his prime right now.
First off, Larry's voice is incredible. The guy must have done radio or something. God, he should be the one that's doing this podcast instead of me. But he makes – I'm with him. I think I'm a little less angsty, Sam, because part of me feels like – this is what happens with every LeBron, Kobe, I think Duncan, you know, Steph is on those guys' levels, obviously. Those guys, when they won their titles, you know, it wasn't that they were favored or they were going to win it for sure, right? I think it's about the same wavelength that the Warriors are at now, where it's pretty open. The Warriors could win it this year. They could not win it this year, but it's not like they have a 5% chance of winning it. They're also not overwhelming favorites like 2016, 17, 18, right? So I think that's normal, though. I think that you could say the same thing for Kobe when he won his fourth and fifth title. You could say the same thing for Duncan. when he beat the Heat and the games before, right? I think you could say the same thing, certainly, for LeBron, right? When he won his titles, it never felt like he was, like, the massive favorite. So I think maybe we're a little used to the Warriors and this team being heavy favorites. Sometimes they're just not going to be, but it doesn't mean that. I just don't know.
I can ride with that. That's a fair point. I mean, I think I would have a different tune if I knew Draymond Green was fully healthy.
Yeah.
In general,
yeah. I'm assuming Draymond is healthy. Yes, I'm assuming Draymond.
If Draymond's fully healthy, I think it's not a perfect team, but I feel pretty good about this team's chances in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think that's where we should end it tonight, you know? I think positive first game post All-Star break. Less than positive internet connection for me. But, you know, we're going to keep chugging through it. We're going to keep going through it. You know, I'm going to work on my internet, just like Jeremy was going to work on his back. And we will be back Sunday night after the Dallas Mavericks game.
Yes.
A team that the Warriors may face in the first round. So we'll see.
Oof. Wow. Teaser. We'll